Date with a Daboo is a Words and Nerds and Breathe Art podcast co-production recorded on Awabakal country. And I pay my respects to all elders, past and present, and extend that to any First Nations people tuning in. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. On with the show.
I really liked the idea of writing it over the course of one day because you can be sort of cruising on along in your life, thinking that everything is going okay. And then sometimes shit going sideways a little bit can spin you off into all sorts of directions. It sort of can shake you out of a complacency.
Welcome to Date with a Daboo, a podcast about debut authors, their incredible books, and their journey to publication. If you are looking for a new author to discover or writing inspiration for your own story and you don't know where to start, this is the place to be. I'm Nick Vasiliev, author of When Men Cry and your host for today's show, and I'm delighted to welcome another debut author in today's episode. If you enjoy the show or indeed any other shows on the Words and Nerds platform, jump online and give us a thumbs up, a five-star review, wherever you are listening. Thank you for listening to us and for supporting the Australian book industry. You can also find any books mentioned in today's podcast down in the description. For our first episode, it is important to recognise that late last year, we actually got hit with a bunch of debut books. So today I'm being joined by Eleanor Elliott Thomas. She worked for many years as a lawyer before committing to writing full-time. And previously she created the Isolation Bear comics during COVID lockdown. But we're here today to talk about her debut novel, The Opposite of Success, which is published by Text Publishing. And you can grab a copy of that right now down in the description. So I started off by asking Eleanor about how writing a novel compares to crafting a comic. And also, because this book has now been out in the world for a little while, what has the reaction been like?
Thanks so much for having me. I am coming from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation.
Normally with these podcasts, I like to, you know, start by talking about your writing journey, how you made it to publication. But, you know, I got distracted in researching this by the fact that you've done a comic beforehand.
I have, yeah.
First question, the Isolation Bear comics. So yes. How does it compare, out of curiosity, having done a book to doing a comic? Or is it all just still feel like the same process?
Oh, no, it's very different. So the comic was just something that I was mainly doing during the very early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic when we were all locked down. I just kind of started it as a bit of a distraction creative project, I guess. So I was doing a little comic, like a little short comic every day for the first month or two of the pandemic. And that was, yeah, it was quite a different, it's a very different process because you're using kind of the images, not just the words, to kind of express and make jokes. It's kind of gives you like different options to just writing, I guess. I found that I really enjoyed it actually. Yeah, writing I also enjoy, but I guess it's a much longer term project. So it was quite fun. I'd do the comics, I'd write them in like one day and put them on the internet and that was it. You know, they were gone. Whereas the book, you know, obviously you cannot write a book in a day unless you're, I don't know, Stephen King.
God, we all imagine having the ability to write a book in a single day. I love that you made the jump from doing comics during lockdown over to writing books and doing it in a full-time capacity. And we have a small benefit because normally with these podcasts, I usually am talking to an author just before the book comes out. But the benefit of you being the first episode this year is that Opposite of Success has been out for a little while. We were talking a little bit about it before we started recording, that it is a weird feeling to have a book out there in the world. And I want to poke you a little bit about it. How does it feel? Are there any funny stories about you've suddenly like walked into a book, into a random bookshop in, I don't know, Japan somewhere, and all of a sudden there's your book right there?
I haven't had that. Fortunately, I have not been swanning around internationally since the publication of my book just yet. But I have spotted it in bookshops all over Victoria where I've been, and it is always without exception gives me a little thrill to see myself on the shelves, like next to these, you know, heroes and people that I've been reading or admiring from afar for a long time. So that is definitely a very exciting experience. Yeah, I mean, it's a funny process writing a book, because there's all this build up to it. You write a book, you think, oh, maybe I'll get published, and then you get a publishing contract, and then it takes like, I don't know, a year. I mean, it took me a year from contract to publication, but that's quite fast, can take much longer. The book comes out, it's like the biggest thing in your life. But then for everyone else, it's just like one more of like 20,000 books that are coming out in that 6 month period. So it's like a weird thing, whereas it's like the biggest thing for you, but not necessarily for everyone else. So it's a bit of a funny process in that way. But also, I mean, mostly it's been just like completely delightful. It's so amazing that, you know, I've got this book that is out there in the world that people can read. Anyone can read it. Strange things that I, you know, wrote in the privacy of my own little office in my room. and now it's out there in the world for anyone to read. It's like sort of having your diaries out on shelf. Not that it's an autobiography, but it's definitely like it's a strange and new process for me. And it's been very fun and exciting and a strange and interesting experience.
Have you had anyone be like, I'm Laurie? You've nailed Laurie. You, like, that's me. A person who's a reader has come up to you and said, that is who I am. I feel seen. Has it made you go on, oh, God?
Well, there's definitely, I've definitely had people find her a very relatable character, because she's a mother of small children. She's kind of trying to balance working and mothering and is like going a little bit insane in the process, which I think is an experience that many people with young children that are not getting enough sleep at night and are trying to, you know, do like a million things at once have experienced. So I've definitely had feedback that she is a relatable character, but I've also had feedback because my book's got two main characters. There's an Alex and a Laurie. Yes. Laurie is probably more like obviously relatable character. Yes. She's like But I have had people say, oh, no, I'm a real Alex. Like, So it's, I guess it depends on the person.
Let's dive into this book. And I always like to start when we talk about, you know, the actual book itself, the characters, the themes, the story. I always want to hear an author's 1 minute pitch. And I know that this book's been out for a little while, so I'm assuming you've nailed it down. What is The Opposite of Success about?
So it is a contemporary comedy about two women and having a very bad day, essentially. It's set over the course of one day. So Laurie is the main character. As I said, she's a working mum. She's been working at the council job for a long time, and she's applied for a promotion that she's a bit overdue for. And when that doesn't quite go as she anticipates, she has a somewhat unhinged reaction, and things kind of spiral in increasingly chaotic ways. That's a very short summary.
I love it, and we'll keep it. We'll keep it as spoiler free as we can. We will touch on a few things through the book, of course, but want to try and keep it as spoiler free as possible. But nailed it. This is a very quirky story, and I love that it's also. I had to stop a few times because I often I have power sessions where I smash like 80 pages or 90 pages or whatever, and then I have to take a break or whatever. But it still amazes me that this book only takes place over the course of a day. And I honestly felt trouble trying to put together this podcast interview, because the book goes off in so many multiple directions, because you cover a lot. You have the seemingly perfect life being unraveled. You have the doggy dog world of corporate legal environments being passed up for promotions in favor of a new whippersnapper. You have, and then bringing it all back to the title, The Opposite of Success. This felt like the perfect book that encapsulates that moment in your life where falling into expletives, like the book does, shit goes sideways. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Just want to say that straight up.
Oh, thank you. I really liked the idea of writing it over the course of one day, because it is like, because you can be sort of cruising on along in your life thinking that everything is going okay. And then sometimes a failure or something just kind of going a little shit, going sideways a little bit, kind of can spin you off into all sorts of directions. It sort of can shake you out of a complacency. So I think that's the reason that I found the idea of setting it over one day appealing, because it was kind of like a normal person and then something goes wrong and she becomes a little bit unnormal or abnormal.
The good thing, it came along at a good time for me, because like I was also diving into, you know, historical fiction, some really intense books. And when you have one of those, sometimes it is nice to counterbalance it with something comedic, fun. I don't want to say light, because there is a lot of stuff going on here. Like, light can be used in a broader term, but it's an enjoyable read, this book. It's a very enjoyable read because you're dealing with the topics of just having a fucking shit day in such a light, breezy way that is incredibly relatable, which I love about that. It's the charm and the appeal of the book. And I think it, you know, if you are in that sort of person who is kind of stuck in that, you know, 9-to-5 desk jockey environment, or indeed if you're just in that sort of environment where you just working your ass off, you feel like you're not getting anywhere, sometimes you feel a bit wheel spinny, this book nails that setting, that feeling, that vibe in a good shape. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. That's so nice to hear, because I did find when I was writing it, what I kind of had in mind when people were asking me, I was like, what are you writing this for? I'd be thinking, I just want to write something that is, well, it's kind of exploring issues that were relevant to me and that I was thinking about in my own life, but also that I just wanted to write something that was really kind of just enjoyable to read, that it was not that was kind of my main priority, to make it like a book that was interesting and explored some interesting issues but was also just fun. So it's really nice to do that.
The book follows at the top of the, we mentioned it at the top of the podcast, but the book follows two women. I want to first ask about Laurie. We follow Laurie at first, happily married, mother of two, semi-excited for a promotion, seems to have everything together, and then the crux moment where this book just goes into the stratosphere is where she is told in nice corporate speak, is the best way to describe it, that she is perceived as not really working hard enough, and the role is given to a bloke 8 years her junior. Fuck that. And that sends her into, and that sends her us on the journey of her meltdown. Where did this character emerge from? Because as the story progressed with Laurie, and I think maybe this is probably the reason why a lot of people have gravitated, you mentioned kind of a lot of people have gravitated towards her first initially. And I think the reason is because as she goes into this meltdown, propelled by pot and alcohol and a whole bunch of stuff, she says shit that is so liberating and stuff that you kind of you've sometimes wanted to say when you're in that work situation and someone is pissing you the hell off. It's losing all inhibitions and saying shit that I wish I could say sometimes. Where the hell did she come from? I need to know.
It was funny. When I started writing this book, I kind of just started writing without any plan. I kind of didn't really know what I was going to write about, and I just kind of let it come as it came. So obviously a lot of it comes from my own brain and my own experiences in the workforce. Not that she's fully me, and I certainly would never and have never had those sort of like, you know, really truly unhinged moments of letting it all out there, but I definitely, that idea of kind of being in a job and just sort of like doing your job and feeling like your job always wants more from you than you're able to give it, particularly when you've just got other stuff going on in your life, as everybody does, whether they've got kids or not. Or, you know, I mean, it's particularly like becomes very hard to manage when you've got like small children who like wake you up all night and wake you up in the morning and then need every second of your attention when you're not at work. in that context, it becomes very hard to be like the pure professional that some the workplaces sometimes expect you to be, and to just kind of like take off, you know, to put this kind of mask on of like, I'm just going to like soldier through this day and work is the only thing that matters to me, the only thing I care about. And so Laurie is not very good at that sort of performance of that, you know, being the perfect corporate worker. And that is definitely, that's definitely something that came from my own experience. Her subsequent kind of like more sort of meltdowny response, she kind of goes like pretty nuts in various moments of this book, are a little bit more like, it was sort of like something I was just kind of having fun with. Like, I've certainly been in situations at work where you kind of have to, like, you have to, you know, you're having these crazy thoughts or like perhaps not entirely pleasant like responses are going on in your head to what your coworkers might be saying, but you dampen it down because you're a professional. But in this case, I thought, oh well, what the hell? I'm gonna let Laurie say all that stuff. Like, let the mad witch out and see what happens.
I found this so liberal. Like, that's what I think is the appeal of her, because it's just, again, oh, sometimes you do want to let that shit out, and obviously you can't in that setting. So to have someone just say it. Have someone just say it is freeing. It felt just that sense of just no filter at all, just screw it.
Yeah.
It can be quite a liberating feeling. Contrast that with Alex as well, who, a friend of Laurie, and a struggling film documentary maker who, and we won't go into more detail, because then it kind of leads to events at the end of the book, which I won't get into more detail about. She's a bit more, I don't want to say like she's not as like out there, but a bit more like the field, a bit more, you know, there's a lot to examine and unpack there in terms of what she is trying to achieve. Tell me a little bit about writing her, especially in comparison with Laurie.
Yeah, well, she was a character that when I started writing it, I started with Laurie, and I got, I don't know, maybe 20,000 words, 30,000 words in, and then I decided, oh, I kind of need a different perspective here as well. And I started writing Alex, and it took a while for her to take shape. When I was writing, I was kind of like figuring out as I was going what kind of person that she was. And I realized that I wanted to write a character that was that had the same sort of values as Laurie in a lot of ways, but who was just choosing to live a very different kind of life. Because part of what I guess I was exploring with this book is that idea of there are so many different things that you can do with your life, and different what places to put your energy in your life, and different choices you can make about what you prioritize, and how even just how you relate to the world. Like, Laurie is she wants to be liked. She's this very nice kind of character. She's funny. Alex, on the other hand, is a bit more of like, she just doesn't give a fuck. She is who she is, and she's less overtly trying to be liked by people. And so I was kind of interested in exploring how that character would kind of interact with the world and various situations compared to the Laurie character, I think. Although Laurie, as the book goes on, kind of loses a bit of the wanting to be liked and goes into pretty crazy places. But so I just wanted to write two different characters who might have the same sort of basic values, but who were just living different lives, and kind of explore those different ways to be in the world.
They also culminate in similar spaces as well, but also the work setting is very, very different as well for them. Because, so I kind of found that there was a universal connection between them, because obviously, I mean, I don't want to say, I mean, Alex, technical terms are creative, being this filmmaker and all of that stuff. And she's really been struggling with putting this film together that she's been working on. And that can also, that sort of environment leads to a certain personality but you still come across the same obstacles and the same crap. I'll try and keep it as spoiler-free as I can, but this book culminates in a perfect storm of an evening where this story culminates. You throw in a mining billionaire. You throw in a love affair. You throw in bold fashion choices. You throw in alcohol, pot, and a bunch of other stuff. Which I will, again, keep spoiler free. And it's not very often that we see all of this crap play out again over a day. I have no comment or question to add here. I just said that it was, I just want to say, absolutely entertaining. It's really entertaining.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much.
Talk me through just that scenario. We'll obviously say not what happens, but it's like an event in the evening this particular day. Talk me through this scenario and where and how this felt like the perfect place for shit to culminate.
Well, I guess as I was writing it, I decided actually one of the first decisions I made about the book was that I wanted to set it over one day. So as I said, I kind of went in without a plan. I just started writing, see what comes, what's kind of interesting to me in the moment to write about. And then I wrote these two characters and then I wanted their stories to be quite intermingled. And I knew that I needed to finish the day with something. So I guess the event of the evening is a kind of a way of bringing the stories of Laurie and Alex together and also applying a lot of pressure to both of them because it's, I think that's always an interesting thing to take a character and kind of establish them and then see what happens when you put them under pressure, when things go wrong, see how they respond. Because I think it's something that happens in real life that when you can be living your life in quite a not necessarily a very reflective way. You're just kind of getting through the day, moving forward, you know, just putting one foot after the other, just kind of surviving. But then when things go wrong and you are under pressure, that's kind of the times in your life that you go kind of step back a bit and think about what you're doing with your life and what choices you're making. And kind of it just opens up a lot of kind of interesting things to explore. So that's that's what I was trying to do with these characters and that final somewhat chaotic event at the end of the book.
This is actually a pretty good segue because, I mean, I think the crux of it was how important failure is. Again, leading into the going back onto the title, the book is about the opposite of success. It is about failure. I feel this is a good segue into talking a little bit about your writing publication journey a little bit, because obviously Text saw this book, picked the story up, and I feel like it's a perfect segue. It's not very often I get to ask this question because I feel like in line with this book being about failure, could you tell me a little bit about how important failure was for you in writing it?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. I guess the main failure for me, so I wanted to be a writer from when I first discovered books. It was always like something that I really loved doing and felt most myself when I was doing. It's very, like when I was writing, when I'm writing, I feel like most authentically myself and I feel smarter than I am. And I don't know, I just really, I find the whole process of it very satisfying. And I like if I had a choice, I would just be reading or writing books all day, every day of my life. But I was, the main failure, I think, for me was that despite that and having this kind of knowledge about myself, I was very afraid of doing it. So I always wrote throughout my whole life, but I didn't actually write this book until I think I turned 40. Mm. That was at the point where I was like, God, if I actually don't do it now, then I'm just not going to get to it. You know, it's not just going to happen. And the failure for me was actually the fear of failure. So it wasn't like I had tried to write books before and hadn't quite finished them, but it was more, it was the thing that I think that I had failed in was having that sort of self-belief or being able to cope with the idea of writing something and it not turning out. So I think being able to kind of overcome that fear and being able to go, well, if it fails in the sense of, you know, even if I write a book and it's terrible or if I write a book and it's not published or whatever, like, you know, I kind of made the decision that I wanted to write the book anyway because I love writing so much and it's such an important and satisfying thing for me to do. So that was kind of how I got over that. The other failure was I did have an experience at work where I had been a little bit like my character, where I had been kind of cruising along and then I was knocked back for a promotion. And even though it was not at all in the scenario that the character in the book experiences, and it was not, yeah, it was a very different scenario, but it was that feel, that experience of being knocked back for a promotion that I thought I might get was quite a good thing for me because it really jarred me out of this kind of like I was just moving forward, and then I was like, oh well, actually maybe my the path that I thought I was on is not the path that I'm actually on. And it made me think a lot about what I was doing. And that actually is part of the reason that I ended up writing this book, because I thought it kind of brought me back to that sort of contemplative self where I was thinking, oh, what do I actually want to expend my energies on? Do I want to focus solely on this other? Because I was working as a lawyer at the time, and I sort of decided to take the time to also do the writing, and that I kind of realized at that point that I knew that I'd really regret it if I didn't.
Absolutely. I also love that the actual expending of energy was kind of the culmination of it. Like, you were dealing with like other stuff, and that, and this kind of made you go, you know what, screw it, this is what I want to do, and I'm gonna do it. It's amazing how often that can often be the catalyst for the creation of a piece of art like a book. You've suddenly had a recontextualizing of either your life or kind of understandings around it, and that often leads to be from those failings or troubles that you get hit with, suddenly you are galvanized to create a piece of work, which I think is always amazing. What is next for you? Will we see another book?
Yes, well, I'm contracted to write one, so that we better.
Oh, that's important. Yeah, that probably makes an impact.
It does, So I'm very fortunate. I've got a two-book deal with Text, so I'm working on the second book at the moment. I'm sort of about halfway through the manuscript, and it's a little bit, not wholly different to the opposite of success, maybe a little bit less kind of like overtly comic. It's been a little bit more serious. It's kind of explores sibling dynamics and also the role of luck and kind of privilege in life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's currently not as overtly comedy as The Opposite of Success, but having said that, I don't think I even knew The Opposite of Success was a comedy until I showed it to someone else and they were like, oh, you've written a comedy. So I think that's just how my natural voice is, like the comic voice, I guess. So it's not going to be War and Peace, the next one.
Well, hey, look, all comedy in some essence, shape or form is critical. The comedy comes out of the fact that it's bloody relatable and hits you pretty, pretty hard. And that's what I love about this book. It's really, really good.
Oh, thank you.
You should be super proud of it.
Thank you.
We'll finish off with the last part of the podcast, which is a rapid fire question part of the date. I'm going to hit you with a bunch of questions and you just give me the first answer that comes to your head. But I did give you a little bit of pre-warning with the first two in terms of books and things that you've been reading and enjoying. You mentioned that you love to read. If you could do that full time, you would. Amen to that. That is the goals of life. So I'll hit you with the first question. What is your favorite book that you have read in the last 12 months?
Yeah, it was it's hard to choose because I read a lot of great books in the last 12 months, but I really loved the thing that immediately sprang to mind was The Rachel Incident by Caroline O'Donoghue, which is a book about a girl working in a bookshop who develops a crush on her uni professor, but then that doesn't quite play out how you expect it to. And it's this book written with so much, I don't know, compassion, and I just love the characters. I just felt like they were all old pals by the end of the book. So it was just the perfect reading experience. I loved it.
Oh, that's so sweet. And also kind of, look, books set in bookshops. Easy.
Yeah. Winner. They speak to me.
They do. What is your favorite debut that you've ever read? So I'm not talking like in the last, 12 months or whatever. I'm talking ever that you've read.
That's a tough one, but I really did love Juno Diaz's The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde, which is about a Dominican American kid. It was like maybe 2007 or 2009. Early aughts. Really amazing, like very imaginative and a little bit metafictional and funny and crazy and tragic and comic. It's got everything. Fantastic book. He hasn't written any more novels since then, so which is a sad business. But that one was an amazing one.
Maybe because it was such a hit, he's probably taking the Harper Lee approach and waiting 15 years for the next one.
I think he won like a Pulitzer Prize for it, so he was probably like, my work is done.
just drops an amazing book, dad, collects a massive prize, dibs and leaves. What a boss.
Totally.
What's the shittiest moment you have ever had work-wise that you can now look back on and laugh?
Oh, that is a good question. look, I did get fired from a job once when I was working as a waiter at a cafe, and they fired me for being too clumsy, which was a bit cutting at the time. But, you know, I'm now like, all right, okay, it's a fair call. I really was too clumsy. All right, I still drop my phone like at least 8 times a day. I'm just, I can't be trusted with any breakable object. I wasn't built for that.
That's savage. I mean, like, also you just recognize, okay, that's being a waiter is not where my calling is.
It really wasn't, no.
Do you have a favorite word?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm just, like, my brain is now just being flooded by my least favorite words, but... That is a good question. Oh, now I'm blanking. What are words? What are words?
What I can't think of any. Words?
The words. What are words?
Words are life. That is.
You know, they are life. You know what? I'm not sure that I have a favorite one. They're all good.
Let's recontextualize it. Is there a word that you like? For example, you were writing this book and then you like went, you know what? I've kind of got an obsession with this particular word. I'm going to drop it into a sentence here, here, and here. And then even to the point where, like, you know, your editor would have been like, dude, can you stop putting this word in to this book?
It wasn't really a deliberate choice, but I did, when I was getting my copy edit, my editor was like, you use the word little and the word weird about every once a page. So everything in the book was, it was a little weird. Anyway, it was a little weird that I was using those words so frequently. So those were the words that I was using in the book, but not really, I wasn't consciously choosing to use them. I think that's just how it came out. So I had to do quite a lot of editing to think about different ways to describe little and weird, or just get rid of them altogether.
Thesauruses are your best friend in that regard. That's where you
I
come in.
Love of thesaurus. Yeah.
Yep.
Strange, bizarre. Yeah. Anyway.
Underrated. Everyone says, oh yeah, the dictionary's cool, but no, thesauruses are where it's at.
That's where it's at. Totally.
That's where it's at. Booze or pot?
Booze.
Booze? Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair. If you had woken up after the day that Alex and Laurie had, what would be the first thing you would do?
Probably the same answer as the previous question.
And then lastly, final question. You walk into a lift and your ultimate celebrity friend is in there. Who is it?
Ooh, ultimate celebrity friend. probably JVN from Queer Eye. I think he would be a very hilarious lift companion.
Oh, I love Jonathan.
Yeah.
He's beautiful.
So good. He is beautiful. Such a great heart.
Also, do you find it funny that, like, whenever you, like, watch Queer Eye, that, like, obviously the transformations are amazing. Like, the clothes are always like, wow, that person looks really, really good. But the real moment is when Jonathan turns them around and they look completely, like, that's the, like, oh, shit, transformation's happening. It's totally the real magic. Yeah. I'm so sad Bobby's not sticking around too. It makes me sad.
I know. It is disappointing. It is disappointing, but I understand. You know, he was doing a lot of work for, you know, not much glory, I think. But.
No, that's true. But, yeah, absolutely love JDN. That's a great answer. Please. Yes, please. I could honestly chat all day, but I know that, you know, you have a second book to write and a second manuscript to complete. So I will simply finish off by saying to everyone who is listening, get yourself a copy of The Opposite of Success. It is the ultimate fun comedy novel. Well, I'll use comedy in abbreviations because you say comedy is just your writing style. it is a fantastic, awesome, relaxed read about the day that goes completely off the rail. And it's the book that you didn't realize that you needed. Eleanor, it has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Date with a Debut and for listening to the Words and Nerds channel. You can buy all books mentioned in today's episode down in the description box. And if you enjoyed the show, or indeed any episode of Words and Nerds, drop us a review. Leave us 5 stars or a thumbs up. It is hugely appreciated. Catch you soon.